Dr. Pam Peek, founder of the Peak Performance Center and renowned nutrition and fitness expert, and Michelle King Robeson, founder of EmpowHer.com and leading women's advocate, cut through the confusion and share the naked bottom line truth about all things woman. It's Her Radio.
Okay, Michelle, I'm gonna throw two words out at you.
Guilt
and shame. Guilt and shame.
How about blame?
A woman, don't we just swim in this? And blame too. Oh my gosh, it's shame, blame, and guilt. It's that slippery slope, right?
Oh, not a gosh. Good slope. And women are great at it.
No, we make this, you know, like a second career, this whole issue of, you know, shame, blame, and guilt. And we have today a fabulous expert, Dr. June Tangney, who is university professor and professor of psychology at George Mason University. She is a recipient of International Society for Self and Identity's Distinguished Lifetime Career Award and fellow of the Association of Psychological Science. Oh, she's got so many good things going for her here. I mean, I'd be here all day just sort of citing them all. So, Dr. Tangney, welcome to Her Radio, and we're talking about your book, Shame and Guilt. Shame and Guilt. So what's the difference, and why is it that women make a second career out of shame and guilt?
That's a funny question about women. Well, it turns out when we fail or transgress that there are good ways and bad ways to feel bad. When people feel guilt, they feel bad about what they've done. I did a bad thing. And that seems to motivate reparative action, confessing, apologizing, undoing, because the issue is a bad behavior, and that's something you can often change. When people feel shame, they feel bad about themselves. I'm such a horrible person for having done that. And instead of motivating reparative action, people who feel shame are often motivated to hide, to escape, to deny, and to blame. So that blame piece really comes up quite a bit.
So what are the four types of guilt?
Four types of guilt? There's many different types of guilt, and we really distinguish between shame and guilt as this focus on the behavior versus focus on the self. I think when thinking about guilt, it's important to make a distinction between realistic guilt, when a person really has done something wrong or failed in some way, and is responsible, and it's reasonable to feel guilt and then to make use of that emotion. Then there's unfair guilt, feelings of guilt for things that we really don't have responsibility for. Survivor guilt is one kind of example. So that's right. The main distinction I would make between two different kinds of guilt.
But what about caregivers? You know, as a physician, you know, I'm seeing this all the time. And gosh, Michelle, you know, this is something that, really makes me crazy. And this whole issue of, well, if a caregiver, you know, wants to go take a walk or something because they're exhausted and they've been at it for so long, they feel guilty. But what if that person needs me? You know, what if something happens? What kind of guilt is that?
That sounds like misguided guilt, and I really think it takes the ability to step back and say, really, what's reasonable for me to offer this person in need, and what's reasonable to take care of myself? And so this idea that we just give, you know, really comes from, I think, some kind of distorted notions about what our responsibilities are.
Right, so if you think about, you know, rational or a knee-jerk reaction, right? And how? And I think a lot of women are like this, where we can rationalize anything, and or we can have a knee-jerk reaction, which I tend to do a lot, and I think overthink things, right? But how can you tell if your guilt feelings are good or bad? Because that's where I get confused.
You know, one easy way is if you had a friend in that situation. Do you think it's reasonable for that friend to feel guilty to go for a walk? So kind of take
it
away from the self and ask about how you would counsel a friend. But I really do think it's useful to kind of step back and say, you know, what's reasonable to be responsible for and what's not reasonable. And particularly when we're in caregiving roles, to really think about the self as under the umbrella of people who need to be taken care of. It's not just other people, but, you know, me too, I'm important too. And, right, so to extend that caregiving
role. Well, it's unhealthy. Well, you know, it's unhealthy. You know, Barbara Anderson's work at Ohio State University and her stress labs have shown that, you know, people who are not living a balanced life as a caregiver, meaning that they're not taking care of themselves, you know, are exquisitely now prone to immune suppression, increased infections, even increased incidence of cancer and other issues like heart disease. Some in one experiment, I remember the people who are living an unbalanced life of caregiving, you know, fraught with guilt, actually many times die before the very people that they're caregiving. So I always say that the best caregiver is a healthy caregiver. And so if that's true, then Dr. Tagney, can you help us understand what can you do to prevent guilt and shame?
Well, I think the issue is that you don't want to prevent it, but you want to feel especially guilt when it's useful and when it's reasonable and you have a reasonable responsibility. So, for example, you know, if you do something that really hurts somebody's feelings, it's appropriate to feel guilt, and that motivates people to repair relationships, to, you know, fix the harm that was done. And one of the best ways to get out of or to resolve realistic guilt is to make amends. But you're focusing in on these situations where people are feeling guilty for not doing unreasonable amounts of things.
Right.
And for not taking care of themselves. And I think that's where it's really important to recognize that, okay, women especially are in a caregiver role. Part of our job is to take care of ourselves too, to be healthy so that we can you know, have the rope to be able to help other people and
right.
also that's to enjoy what, life because we have a right to that as well.
Right. That's what I teach all the time, right? You have to learn to advocate for yourself and feel selfless instead of feeling selfish because we are the caregivers for everybody else. But talk to me about, you know, when does guilt become problematic, right? When does it become a problem for us?
Mm-hmm. In these various situations, I think, where people feel unrealistic guilt and haven't quite figured a way out of that. And often it can be helpful to talk it over with a trusted significant other who really cares about you and who's not involved in the situation. And some
right.
people find therapy very helpful. I think another place where guilt becomes problematic is where people have a hard time thinking of, and I'm talking about realistic guilt now, how can I actually make amends if, for example, the person is no longer living or, you know, there's some harm that just can't obviously be undone. And there I think that's really creative.
Yeah. I think that that's a very, very important point. There's a time in which you really have to process all of this and sit down and really, as you said so well, you know, piece a lot of this together and try to understand, as it were, the good guilt, the bad guilt, what kinds of guilt. And I think that everyone out there should read Dr. June Tagney's fabulous book, Shame and Guilt. Understand the differences and put them to work in your own life. Thank you, Dr. Tagney, for being on Her Radio. I'm Dr. Pam Peek with Michelle King Robeson. Like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, and please stay well.